Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Highlander's Promise by Mary Wine, narrated by Timothy Campbell. Chapter 1. Duncan Land. Terran Campbell sat up in her bed. The chamber was still and quiet. Her bedding was clean and there was the lingering scent of rosemary clinging to it. The staff was doing their best to gain her favour now that her mother-in-law, Benedicta, was no longer their main focus, and making it clear that her daughter-in-law wouldn't ever be the mistress of the stronghold. Terran didn't belong there any longer, now that her husband was dead. It was a feeling she was very used to. She'd expected it to fade in the first year of her marriage, but it never had. Benedicta and her sons had seen to that. Could she have fought harder to make a position for herself? Yes. Of course she'd needed a son to do it, and she'd just never been quite able to make herself grovel to Goron the way he'd insisted she do to get into his bed. There were plenty of people who would tell her she'd squandered her opportunity to be the lady of the house. If she had a son, she'd have a position. Somehow Terran just couldn't lament her choice. Was it so wrong to think a child should be born into a happy home? Just because she was born the daughter of a laird, did it mean her future was to be one riddled with scheming and power plays?
Well, you have spent 4 years pondering the matter.
She had. Terran stood and walked over to the window. She opened the shutters and looked out into the yard. Night was losing its grip. The sky was brightening as the stars began to disappear. Still, the first birds had yet to sing. She felt like those birds, nestled into her bed while waiting for the morning sun to awaken her. She was so tired of waiting. She was sick of waiting. It felt like poison in her veins. Either she fought it off, or it would kill her in the worst possible way. Slowly, allowing her to notice every drop of her life dripping away. No, fortune favoured the bold. Terran turned around and walked to the wardrobe. Inside there was a spare length of wool. Some maid had placed it there in case Goron ever passed the night with her and needed a clean kilt. It was an extravagance to have a length of wool going unused, but Goron had expected such luxury. So perhaps she would make use of it. Perhaps it was past time to see it going to use, to see herself having a purpose.
What are you doing?
Terran wasn't precisely sure, but once she began there was no stopping herself. She pleated up the wool on the floor and then went back to the wardrobe in search of a shirt. It was too large on her, but she moved the buttons on the cuffs so they would close tightly around her wrists. She lay down on the wool and used her own belt to secure it around her waist. When she turned to look in the mirror, she saw a lanky lad, if she discounted her waist-long hair. Her legs hadn't been on display in a decade since she became too old to run wild with her brothers. If the church discovered her dressed like a man, there would be dire consequences. But that didn't dissuade her. She'd done all the things she should. Now she was going to do the things she dared. Determination flared through her. Terran reached for her sewing scissors and hacked off a foot of her hair. She tied a section back from her eyes and tugged a bonnet down over her forehead. The last thing she did was press her fingertips into the soot at the edge of the hearth. She smeared the black ashes on her face to disguise how soft her skin was. A quick look in her mirror showed her a grubby youth. Or at least, it might hold up if she kept her head down and her mouth shut. She gathered up the money she'd hidden around the chamber in case she needed to escape. It wasn't much, but she wouldn't starve, so long as she wasn't too picky. The first bird sang as she walked out of the stronghold. Terran smiled. The truest, most genuine smile she'd experienced in 4 years. The seasons didn't answer to any person's whim. Terran tugged the section of her kilt that she'd left attached to her shoulder up and over her head. The rain had turned to slush as she travelled. Now it was snow. The wind blew so hard the white puffs were going nearly sideways, but it hit the ground at some point and stuck. Hatton Land was still so far away, and over rough land. Her belly tried to constrict, but she ordered herself not to give in to fear. She'd made her choice. Now Duncan Land was further away than Hatton Land. She would simply have to push on. Terran stared at the white fluffs of snow, doing her best to scrounge up her resolve. It actually didn't take too much effort. Yes, her knees were cold, well, freezing, but she didn't have to worry that the next meal she sat down to consume would be laced with poison. Lord, she'd eaten so many hard-boiled eggs in the last 4 years because she could gather them herself and boil them in the small kettle in her chamber.
You're alive.
She was, and all the members of her husband's family who had wished her an early death were victims of their own schemes now. Her father would expect her to come home. Taryn wrestled with the anger the thought of her home brought her. Logically, she understood that being the laird's daughter meant her marriage would be arranged. Her education had been carefully directed so she would be ready to manage a large household. She had not expected love, of course, but respect shouldn't have been too much to hope for. Her husband had been a monster. Even the blowing snow wasn't cool enough to combat her temper.
Well, good then, because you have a long walk ahead of you still. Your temper can keep you warm.
Her belly rumbled. She couldn't indulge in a horse because it would attract attention to her. One lone youth in ill-fitting clothing would be cause for notice, so she'd walked or bartered for a spot on a wagon if she could. Now, though, all the wagons were heading for shelter, their drivers hurrying to secure stable space for their horses before there wasn't any more to be had. She needed to hurry, too. Taryn squared her shoulders and headed across the road toward a public house. It was less than a decent place. As she ducked beneath the doorway, she heard the squeal of several women. Inside the dim interior, there were a collection of mismatched tables. Their tops were scarred and stained, a few of them charred from fire. "Here now," a man pointed at her. "It's a penny to come in." Of course it was. Shelter wasn't free. Taryn dug out a coin and went to pay the owner. She pointed at the stairs. "As if you'd have enough to rent a room." The owner laughed at her while stuffing the penny into his doublet. "You'll take that bench in the corner, I'd be grateful."
Taryn ducked her chin. She'd not moved the buttons on the collar of the shirt, instead leaving it too wide for her neck because she might duck her chin into it and hide how smooth her skin was. Besides the sin of dressing like a man, a lone female might run into men who had no morals. It was the very first time she'd ever been alone. In a way, she discovered the experience to be something interesting. As she went to the bench and sat down, she was able to be overlooked by everyone in the place. It wouldn't last too long, though, for the owner would be looking to sell her food and drink, and perhaps the serving women as they went around the room so that all the men could get a look. Her bench was the furthest from the fire. Taryn suddenly realized she was sitting straight up, just as she'd been taught, but she needed to blend in. She slouched, glancing around the room to see how the other men sat. After a moment, she put her elbows on the table and even rested the side of her face in one of her hands. Jasper Hatton wasn't one to stop because of a bit of snow. All right, it was a fair bit of snow. He knew how many days he had yet to ride before he'd make it home, and the clouds were getting lower and lower, pressing down on them so that he couldn't see more than 10 paces in front of him. Aye, maybe he might have pressed on, but he looked back to where his sister was clinging to the back of a horse. Kiana was barely 16. She was half his size, but she'd not muttered a word of protest over the conditions. Aye, she was pure Hatton. Strong and stubborn. He'd have to recall that his mother would skin him alive if Kiana caught a fever because Jasper had insisted on riding home through a snowstorm. His mother was pure Gordon. While his father would argue that Hattons were tougher, Jasper would have to side with his mother in saying that any woman who could marry a Hatton and make the union work, as she had for the last 28 years, was far more resilient. Besides, it was far more enjoyable to watch his mother take aim at his father or one of his other brothers than it was to have her ire directed at him. Kiana was his only sister. Jasper had been tasked with taking her to her wedding while their mother was away, something Jasper would bet his father was regretting just about now. Saoirse Gordon wouldn't much care if her husband felt he needed to settle an old debt by marrying off their daughter, especially when Kiana was too young. Aye, well. Jasper had obeyed his father and managed to retrieve his sister as well. All he had to do was get Kiana home in one piece and in good health. So he pulled up on the reins and looked around to see what was to be had in the way of lodgings. It was slim pickings, to be certain. The small village had grown up at a crossroads. McPherson's and Grant's made use of the area as they traded. There might be lowlanders as well, or even some of the highlanders from further up near Sutherland. There were mostly warehouses, large stables with blacksmith shops set up alongside. He could see several houses of pleasure as well, but those certainly would not do. Jasper settled his attention on a public house. It was less than acceptable, to be sure, but there was nothing else. Jasper whistled. His captain, Leith, looked his way. "Find some shelter for the horses," Jasper instructed him. "Aye," Leith replied.
Jasper dismounted and went toward his sister. Kiana made a little sound as she slid off the horse. It caught her when her knees didn't quite hold her.
"Let's find some warm supper, Kiana," Jasper encouraged her.
"Yes,"
she responded. She was just 16, but had already begun to master the composure of a lady. Jasper could feel her trembling, but her tone didn't give it away. She straightened up after a moment and sent him a composed little smile. Two of his retainers went in front of them. They pushed through the front door of the public house.
"It's a penny apiece to come inside," the landlord shouted.
The squealing of the women was beginning to get on Terran's nerves. The bowl of stew she'd paid far too much for wasn't sitting on her stomach very well. The small section of bread she'd been given wasn't helping in the least. And the squealing continued. What was it about fornication that made women squeal? Terran honestly didn't understand it.
"Well, you're a virgin."
Still, as she lifted her face to sneak a glance at one of the women who was sitting on a man's lap and smiling at him, Terran just couldn't seem to understand why the woman's eyes sparkled. It was one thing to maintain a pleasant expression, but Terran had never quite been able to make her eyes sparkle upon demand. For sure, she could force a smile even when on the verge of tears, but the sparkle in the eyes was just beyond her reach. So, the woman must be enjoying herself.
That was the part that had Terran perplexed.
All right, and curious. Someone else came through the door.
"It's a penny apiece to come inside," the landlord cried out immediately.
The noise in the common room suddenly died down. The reason was clear. These men were retainers. They had a harder look to them, and their clothing was neat because they represented the laird they wore the colours for. Each of them was looking both ways, getting a clear look at every person in the room. It was something they would have trained for since they were only 10. Now that they were men, they were truly a notch above the other men in the room, truly the elite among the Highlanders. And they had earned everything they had through hard training and loyalty. Their kilts were finer than the rest of the Hatton clan might own, the dyes richer, deeper, and more brilliant. The wool itself was the highest grade of cloth to be had, and each kilt was a privilege to wear. A mark of the position they'd likely persevered through difficult times to be awarded the right to wear. But the man who came behind them was even more awe-inspiring. He had to duck beneath the top of the doorway. Once he straightened up, Terran felt her eyes round as she took in his towering height. And he had brawn to go with it. He had a head of midnight black hair and a close-trimmed beard. His colours declared him a Hatton, and the two feathers sticking up in his cap said he had a high position in the clan. He might be the war chief, or one of Laird Hatton's sons. The landlord snapped his mouth like a fresh-caught trout. His eyes widened until they bulged.
"I'm Jasper Hatton," the man introduced himself.
He looked around the room, making eye contact with many of the patrons.
"Please forgive me, but I've my sister along, so I'll be asking you all kindly to mind your tongues."
More retainers had been coming in as Jasper spoke. There were a few grumbles from the more intoxicated patrons. They quickly became the target of those Hatton retainers.
"However," Jasper turned toward the landlord, "I will be most happy to rent a room above stairs where my sister will no be a bother to anyone."
"Aye,"
the landlord suddenly found his tongue. He held his hand up in the air.
"I'll be needing a wee bit to get the sheets changed."
One of the women snickered, making it clear why the bed linens would be in need of changing. Jasper turned to survey the rest of the room. His men proved their worth, as they seemed to know precisely what their master was thinking. Jasper looked toward the side of the area where Terran sat. He suddenly offered everyone sitting there a friendly grin as he reached up to tug on the corner of his cab.
"Sorry to trouble you all," Jasper said.
His retainers closed in, making it clear they wanted the section of room cleared for them to sit together. Terran stood along with the two men sitting near her. The landlord had crowded as many benches as possible inside the common room that he could, so moving was a tricky business. Terran hit her shin and caught the corner of a table with her hip as the others around her made a dash away from the glowering Hatton retainers. She ended up on the edge of a longer bench that had already had two men on it. Masking her recoil wasn't easy, but a lifetime of lessons on modesty were ingrained in her as she pulled away. She ended up with only half her bottom on the bench, and her elbows resting on her knees to keep her balanced. The position promised her an uncomfortable night at best. A tumble onto the floor at worst. Perhaps walking in the storm wasn't such a bad idea after all. There was something about the lad. Jasper really didn't need to worry about one lanky, half-starved boy. except that the lad wasn't half-starved. Jasper had been trained to know what condition the men under his command were in. It was an essential skill in any commander, and his father had raised all four of his sons to be ready to shoulder command when needed by the clan. The lad's face wasn't sunken in, so he ate regularly enough.
Let it go.
Jasper disregarded his inner voice.
Aye, it was sound advice. And if he wasn't looking at being stuck inside the common room for the next day or so, he might have heeded it.
The lad had landed on the very end of a bench. He was perched there, his elbow on his knees. He was tense, though. The common room was stuffed full of an odd assortment of men. Age and wealth didn't make any difference when an early snowstorm hit. Every man in the room had been out trying to survive, just seeking that last bit of work before winter settled in, and they all had to wait until spring to travel. No one else was nervous, though, for weather in the Highlands was never hospitable. You simply learned to take whatever Mother Nature threw at you in stride. This youth wasn't doing that. Once he began, Jasper just couldn't stop picking apart the details in front of him. The lad's face was dirty, but his hair was neatly combed and clean. He had his chin cradled in his hands, and his fingernails were clean as well. His clothing was clean, too, and better quality than most had on their backs, which made Jasper wonder just why the shirt was clearly too big for the lad. The man next to the lad was talking. He shifted as he lifted his arms, bumping into the lad's backside. The boy's eyes widened, and he stiffened. Jasper went still. The lad's hands shook just a tiny amount as he rubbed his cheeks and set his teeth into his lower lip, a lip that was soft and pink and, without a doubt, female.
Alas!
Jasper looked at the ends of her honey-blonde hair, silently bemoaning the fact that she'd cut the silken strands. It hit him harder than he'd expected, twisting his insides as he discovered himself becoming protective of her. Who had driven her to such extremes? Kiana came into the room. His sister's eyes widened as she took in the number of men. She became the instant center of attention. She hurried over to sit on a bench against the wall where Jasper and his men were between her and the other occupants of the common room. But her hands curled into the fabric of her skirts, betraying how nervous she was, even if she managed to keep her features controlled. Jasper felt something stir inside him. His father had ordered him to take Kiana to her betrothed. As a son, he had to perform his duty, even as he'd argued with his father about how young Kiana was. Barely 16 was too young for a wedding. Oh yes, Jasper knew men who didn't agree. When it came to alliances, girls such as his sister were sent out too young. The hope their mothers had was that their grooms might be decent men who would wait to celebrate their unions. But such a courtesy was inviting disaster, because an annulment could be had. This lass wasn't as young as Kiana. Jasper could see it in her eyes.
He should leave her alone.
But he wouldn't. There was a reason he was escorting his sister home. Jasper hadn't left once he'd delivered Kiana to the Munro, and Rolf hadn't disappointed him either. The man had looked at Kiana and recognized the gross error Laird Hatton had made. The lass in front of him wasn't so fortunate.
Aye, but she's got courage.
Some might call it foolishness, for she was risking trouble with the church as well as those she encountered along the way to wherever she was bound. His belly twisted as Jasper realized she was tense because she knew very well the risks she was taking.
Have your room ready, the landlord said.
A room?
Terran indulged in a moment of thinking it was for her. She'd been raised just like Kiana Hatton, sheltered from the ugliness of the world. Right then, the Hatton retainers were making a wall of themselves to give her a spot of her own, even in a crowded common room. Jasper Hatton rose in response to the landlord's announcement.
Christ, he was large.
Something shifted inside her. Terran discovered herself completely confused over the sensation. She had absolutely no idea what it was.
Get the girl above stairs, someone grumbled. The only good which comes of early snow is the excuse to drink, another man responded.
Kiana was on her feet. She'd begun the process of threading her way between the benches and tables to get to the stairs. She stopped as the room filled with chuckles. Uncertainty appeared on her face as she froze. Terran clenched her fingers into fists. Men were beasts. Terran suddenly stood up, her need to hide forgotten. She moved forward, pushing the legs of the men in front of Kiana aside. There were annoyed looks from the men before one shrugged.
You're wasting your effort, lad, one of them growled at Terran. That little lassie is ne'er gonna look at ye.
There was a round of snickers. Kiana ducked her chin and scurried toward the stairs. There was a tapping of her feet against the steps as she climbed to the floor above. Terran went to sit, but the man sitting next to her very deliberately slid his bulk over to cover the spot she'd occupied. He sent her a smirk before crossing his arms and ignoring the fact that she was left standing. Jasper was standing next to the landlord. He reached inside his doublet and withdrew some coin for the man. She didn't dare ask for a room. There was no way the landlord would rent her one, not when he was clearly running a brothel above stairs.
"Guess is the corner for you, lad," another man remarked, "like a good doggy."
Someone tossed a crust of bread at the wall, causing the room to erupt into laughter. There weren't any other options. Such had become her plight since she'd been contracted to wed.
Helpless.
Her emotions rose up, trying to choke her. Terran fought against the surge. It was a battle she was overly weary of, but there was no way she was going to dissolve into tears. Not when she was free and on her way to a better place. No, she would not pity herself. The key was to keep going, force herself to think of the next thing to do. Well, at least she wouldn't be bumping up against anyone. Terran turned and looked toward the wall. There was already one bedraggled man sitting up against the wall. He'd taken the corner, clearly more experienced in grabbing the best there was to be had among the scraps.
"I appreciate decency in a person." Jasper spoke behind her. "Come here, lad."
Terran continued on toward the wall, but the bedraggled beggar lifted an gnarled hand and pointed behind her. A second later, he'd snatched up the crust of bread and tucked it into his tattered doublet.
"He's talking to ye, boy," the beggar informed her. "He's no the sort of man to turn your back on."
Jasper Hatton certainly wasn't. Terran whirled around. Her eyes widened as she realized just why the beggar had been warning her. Jasper was two paces from her. Well, one, actually. His legs were simply so long. What would have taken her two steps only troubled him for one. He reached out and grasped a handful of her shirt. "Come along." The men who had so brazenly left their legs in Kiana's path hurried to clear the way for Jasper as he went back toward the stairs, pulling Terran along with him.
"What are you doing?"
Terran lost the battle to maintain her silence.
"Just putting you to good use," Jasper replied.
He was tugging her up the steps as the common room burst into conversation. About her. Her face heated. Terran was horrified. She didn't need to be blushing now. Jasper Hatton wasn't the sort of man who missed details.
"It's better than the floor below stairs," Jasper told her.
She'd been absorbed in her own thoughts. Now Terran looked around to see that Jasper had pulled her up the stairs to a landing outside a closed door. There were two plain, humble bunks built against the wall. She blinked, not daring to believe the turn in her luck.
"You can be my watchdog tonight," Jasper informed her. "Sleep here and mind the door."
Finally, luck was with her. Terran nearly jumped onto the bunk. Jasper offered her a cocky grin. The blush on her face didn't fade. No, it intensified. He was far too roguish. Truly, Terran had seen handsome men, along with gallant ones, strong ones, mean ones, and so on. Jasper Hatton was a rogue. When he grinned, he often tilted his head to one side. He also parted his lips and flashed his teeth at her. The expression carried all the way into his topaz eyes. Right now, he was focused on her. Those eyes glittered as he contemplated her.
"Thank you,"
Terran mumbled. His eyes narrowed.
"With the way ye squeak, are ye sure ye are no a little lass?"
"I'm tall,"
Terran exclaimed. Jasper had his lips pursed together.
"For a girl, you're tall."
Terran bristled. She wanted to argue. In fact, she couldn't recall when she'd been so interested in disagreeing with someone before. The urge to tell him what she thought of him was nearly driving her insane. It took every bit of self-control she had. Terran forced herself to settle into the bunk, focusing on how much she appreciated the turn in fortune that had given her a private place to sleep.
"Dunno worry too much, laddie." Jasper placed his foot onto the lower bunk.
Terran bolted upright. She hit her head on the upper bunk as Jasper used the foothold to step up and lay on the top bunk.
"You squeak like a female," Jasper remarked from above her. "Maybe you'll grow some more."
Her heart had nearly stopped, but Terran let out a sigh of relief as he finished his statement. He couldn't know she was a girl. Well, woman. At 22, Terran wasn't in the first blush of her season.
Thank Christ for that.
It really was little wonder that daughters of lairds were married off so young. It was because their families needed the alliances and compliance. When she'd been just 17 and her father had announced her betrothal with Goron Duncan, no one took care of her. No, independence was something that had come with the passage of time. Now she was accustomed to seeing to her own needs.
Well, Jasper Hatton has provided for you tonight.
That bit of truth stung a bit.
Dinna look a gift horse in the mouth.
Terran was going to mind that advice, or at least keep her mouth shut. Her alternatives were too grim to allow her pride to get in the way. The bunk was hard, but with a solid wall against her back, she might unwind the length of wool which served as her plaid during the day and roll up in it. It seemed so long since she'd been warm. Terran let out a sigh as she pulled some of the fabric up and over her head. The days of being on the road, and always fearful of being discovered, took their toll. As soon as she was no longer shivering, keeping her eyes open was impossible. She was sleeping. Jasper heard the little sounds his mystery lass made as she surrendered to sleep. She had dark circles beneath her eyes. There was really no reason for him to feel responsible for her, except that he was fairly certain he'd never forgive himself if he'd left her below to spend the night on the floor. He'd seen the desperation in her eyes. Jasper hadn't been sheltered from life's rougher elements. He knew everyone had challenges to face. Still, he felt like the look in her eyes was branded into his memory. What had sent her out into the world? He wanted to know. Wanted to know who to thrash for putting that look into her eyes. There was a soft step on the stairs. Jasper turned his head. Leith came into view. His captain contemplated the lower bunk for a moment before he nodded and settled down on the landing. Jasper owed Leith for being a good sport about the matter. The bunk should most certainly have gone to the captain who rode beside him and guarded Jasper's back. Leith wasn't quibbling, though. He was already rolled in his plaid, taking the chance to sleep while he might. Jasper should do the same. But his mind was churning. Questions flooded him about who slept beneath him. Why was she in disguise? There was no way she didn't understand the risk she was taking in ignoring the dictates of the church about dressing unnaturally. Yet she risked it. Something shifted inside him once more. This time it was a need to shelter her. It really didn't make any sense, for he wasn't a man ruled by his sentiments. At least, not until now. Jasper shifted, searching for a comfortable position. He wasn't likely to find it. He was folded into the bunk because it hadn't been built for a man of his stature. Well, that was hardly a first. It was dry and much warmer than the weather outside. One advantage of having the common room packed full was that heat rose, just like a herd of cattle huddling together for shelter. His knees were bent and his chin tucked against his chest, but his sister was cared for. Understanding dawned on him at last. The little lass was striking the guilt, festering inside him over following his father's order to take Kiana to Rolf Munro. That made sense. The knowledge was a relief. For a moment, he'd worried he was going soft. As for the lass, well, aside from owing Leith a favour for making his man sleep on the floor, she hadn't cost him anything. Perhaps he'd even be rewarded with a restful night for doing her a service. And tomorrow. Jasper really would have liked to ignore that question. Actually, he wished he'd never even thought of it. But a man who commanded others had to think ahead. Jasper's lad and father had set him a task, one which would impact the entire clan. His personal feelings aside, Jasper had done as commanded because he knew that alliances were essential in the Highlands. She's just a little lass. How much trouble can she be? That thought allowed Jasper to calm his mind. Whoever she was in fact just a wee lass. In the morning, she'd not be any great deal of trouble to him. Not a bit. Morning, lad. Terran's eyes widened. Jasper Hatton stood in front of her in naught but his shirt. She'd never even seen her husband in so little. Her cheeks erupted into flames as she pressed herself against the wall. Thought you were going to sleep the day away, Jasper continued. He lowered himself to his knees and leaned over the fabric of his kilt. With a practiced hand, he folded it neatly. The weather is of the mind to be kind today, Jasper continued on. The storm broke during the night. Truly? Terran asked, before recalling it was best not to speak. Aye, Jasper.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?